Off top, grasshoppers have ears on their stomachs. I guess it's their abdomen. Play the music.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
What's up, Charlie?
Not much. We're just at the conclusion of another regular season of NFL football.
Yeah, it feels like I guess every year is incredibly eventful, but this one like feels particularly eventful. I don't know why, but it might just be the coming on the heels of the Hamlin stuff we saw. And I mean, there's a lot of good news in that story now, as everybody knows by now. Damar Hamlin, heart stopped on the field, Monday night game last week. And it seems like everything is going pretty well right now. He's tweeting and FaceTiming with his teammates, and the Bills had a pretty impressive, I guess I don't know if it's impressive, but anyway, they had an emotional, necessary win. And I was fully anticipating this week of football being like uncomfortable. And I don't know if it's because the news that DeMar is doing well is like made it feel like it's okay. Like we were talking about before, how that thumbs up when someone's getting carted off the field is almost like a permission to keep playing, and we didn't get that thumbs up. It kind of feels like this week in news and DeMar saying he wishes he could come out the tunnel with his team, like all that stuff kind of felt like the thumbs up. But did you feel weird at all? I mean, weird's the wrong word. I don't know. After that game, the last game ended with us not knowing if DeMar Hamlin was going to survive or not. Like, I just anticipated watching football again and at least at first being like made uncomfortable by it, but I wasn't, and it didn't feel like anybody was.
Yeah, I think so. My feeling was the Saturday game sort of ripped the Band-Aid off for Sunday. And it was after you saw like the first hit on Saturday, you sort of sunk into the normalcy of it. And like, part of it is like watching the Chiefs play football first. They're a really joyous team to watch play football. And I also like, I was reading about this, I was thinking about this, and I almost felt guilty that I didn't feel more guilty about watching football. But then I was like, no, this is also natural. Like I should be able to watch and enjoy a sport that I've watched and enjoyed for, you know, 20 plus years. So I felt the full spectrum of it, but I think it's just honestly not to simplify it. I think it's just human nature that we go back to our routines a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not mad at people for enjoying it. I enjoyed it, and I'm going to enjoy all the playoffs coming up. I think for me, at least, this was, and we've talked about this before, when big things like this happen, it gives me at least, it gives all of us an opportunity, I think, to talk about these broader issues, things that are more important than who wins on Saturday and Sunday. And that window was open for me to talk about like a lot of the things that I really care about when it comes to player health and safety and long-term well-being of, I was gonna say professional football players, but honestly, even college football players. I hung out with a bunch of my former college teammates this weekend. Not a bunch, but a few. And it's always like, everybody's doing okay and in good spirits, but it's just, it's sad and upsetting to see the guys who did not play professionally or play professionally for like a year or a couple of years are dealing with some of the same issues. And I guess it doesn't matter whether you play professionally or not, but one difference is like in college, you can't even apply for workers' comp because technically you're not an employee. So there is, let alone the lack of health care, and you carry pre-existing conditions and all that stuff with you, despite the fact that you weren't even paid while you were there. So that's a whole nother thing. But anyway, as it pertains to like this window to talk about stuff, Chris Nowinski wrote an article in the New York Times that I share with you that I read. And he's a neurologist, a former football player. I think he's a former professional wrestler too. And he does a lot of research around the CTE. But the article that he wrote, it talked a bit about that, but it really focused on heart disease. And I think because DeMar Hamlin's issue was around his heart, and it was kind of a rare occurrence. So it doesn't feel like an indictment on football, But it did give us the opportunity to look at like the numbers of like cardiac related issues football players have. And in the article, he cited a Harvard study that suggested that football players are 2.5 times more likely than baseball players to have issues with their heart. And if you remember a couple weeks ago, I think it was Uche Nworenwi, I think is how you pronounce his name, was a offensive lineman with the Jags, and he was like doing some podcasts, and recently he died of a heart attack at 38 years old. And in Chris's piece, he talked about 9 other players since 2015 who had died, and 7 of them were 40 years old or younger. And it's like the researchers believe that it has to do with like the size that football players are and the amount of effort it takes them to put on that weight and the just the taxing it has on their body. So I don't have some great big conclusion other than these things are things I think about and I read about and I care about, and I don't get an opportunity to like squeeze them into our coverage except for when it's relevant, and it's relevant right now. So I don't know. There's no big grand takeaway. We can move on to other stuff. I just wanted to bring everybody's attention to that while I still can.
One thing before we pivot, I think I might be slightly more optimistic or less jaded by cynicism than you are on this, where I do think that DeMar Hamlin's story, and Kevin Clark wrote about this for The Ringer as well, that it was such a watershed moment that there were so many people who were watching and affected by it, that this is going to start a larger conversation about the way that young football players are compensated for the reach of second contract, the way they're given healthcare after they retire, and how those split contracts are structured where players make less money when they're on injured reserve, and what that means for people who can have lasting lifelong issues. So I do think that this, in the positive, has actually started a dialogue that probably should have been started decades ago.
Yeah, I mean, the dialogue, as far as I'm concerned, has been going on for a while. We've been engaged in it. The challenging part is to like get some momentum behind those conversations. And one of the most difficult things about it is educating players when they get in the league. And I think that's one positive outcome of this is the players will be more aware. So then when it comes to, I think what 7 years from now is the next time you can, and you can always reopen a CBA, but that's the next time that you'll be able to negotiate the CBA. Players will be more informed about it and ready to take some action, hopefully.
I think, you know, fans like me, or even who are more red-blooded and meatball-y than me, will be, there's more empathy. I mean, you're seeing people who look like superheroes to us who are physically broken, and you saw people crying and freaking out around DeMar Hamlin. It's like, if that doesn't penetrate and make you feel differently about stuff, there's nothing that will. So
we'll see. You're less jaded than me, as we discussed, but we can pivot to happier conversations. I mean, even if this conversation is sad, it's happier than what we were just talking about. So I guess for Packers fans, Aaron Rodgers contemplating his retirement is kind of sad, right? Like it seems more real than I thought it was. And maybe he's just got a flair for the dramatic and likes attention, which might, I mean, that's not a, I don't think Aaron Rodgers would be upset with that characterization. Like, I think that's a fair characterization of Aaron Rodgers. He did the press conference. You sent me that link of the press conference afterwards, and it certainly seemed like someone who's not coming back, which I just assumed he was coming back up until I saw that video. And then you heard the story about one of the Lions players trying to trade jerseys with them. And he said that he had to hold on to this one, which could mean that he's done, or it could mean that he's not sure and he just wants to hold on to it just in case. Or it could just mean, I don't know, he likes his jerseys. Who knows? Yeah.
He followed that up by saying, it's a night game, Lambeau week 18. There's just certain jerseys you like holding on to, like playing Chicago or a big Sunday night game. It's just a little bit different. It's not keeping it. It's a cool one to give to someone you really care about. And that's after he rebuffed Jameson Williams, who tried to trade jerseys with him.
Yeah. And giving it to someone you really care about, he was bad in that game. So who wants that jersey? I don't know. That's a tough one. That was the shocking thing to me, is like, I expected them to win. and
Same.
they did not. And a huge reason why they did not was Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
That felt like a very big problem. Turnovers and not making plays. And we had heard before the season, we watched that it didn't seem like Aaron Rodgers was the problem. It seemed like there were problems around Aaron Rodgers at the beginning of the season. And recently, all those other things had been performing well. The running backs were good. The receivers were good. The defense had come to play, particularly in the Minnesota game. And they played good in this game, but came down to Aaron Rodgers not making plays. So I guess, what do you want to see? Are you sick of Aaron Rodgers? I kind of wanted him
to be honest with you. So I want to see him play another year with these receivers, because I couldn't be higher on Christian Watson going into next season. Like, he is a freak athlete who bends the field in ways that 6'5" receivers don't. And he's really raw. So I want to see him play another year with him and see if he becomes like a superstar number one. I want to see how they build out the roster around them. I know that's difficult with Rodgers making $58 million next season, if he does decide to come back. And you know what I read into his comments last night? I think he watched Glass Onion over Christmas break, like a lot of people did. And he's like, I'm going to make you overanalyze something really simple. And he did that by just providing actual answers and kindness to reporters and transparency. And that made us all stop and think, oh my God, he's not giving us some cryptic message. What does this mean? And it might just mean that he needs a little bit of time to figure it. It might mean exactly what he said, that there's no deeper meaning.
Yeah, he seems so likable, which was weird to me, because it seems like Aaron Rodgers does not come off that way often. And I don't know if he cares to or doesn't, but it seems like he doesn't care to. And I was like, oh, forget that. He's a human who has feelings, and this could be a big deal for him. And the Packers fans gave him a standing ovation right as he was leaving the field, which was like a classy thing to do, even in defeat. And that game was a tough one for them to watch and muster up the applause. But it was a cool way to end.
Like it was
an
NFC title game.
Don't do that to that man. That is a good one, though. It was a cool way to end the season, I thought, for the Lions.
Yeah.
Because the other alternative was they get into the playoffs. The Seahawks lose earlier today. They beat them. They get into playoffs tonight, or excuse me, Sunday night would have been awesome for them, but then they likely would have lost in the wild card round. I guess they could have been good enough to win a game or two, but ending on a big win like this, a primetime game, knocking off the like reigning king of your division, that is something to build on. I think that coaching staff and those players, young players, should be excited about next season. They got to find a quarterback, but other than that, they're good.
And Goff played fine in that game. He outplayed Rodgers in that game, like pretty obviously. I think you're right. I think, you know, everyone except for one team that makes the playoffs ends their season with a devastating loss. The Lions, on the other hand, got to turn their season around and actually end with what for this group is sort of a franchise changing win from in a place against a quarterback, against an organization that has dominated them for decades. I do think that's significant. Also, like the postgame interview that deserves to talk about also is Jamal Williams, who had the ball after he broke Barry Sanders' single season touchdown record with the Lions. And he gave an emotional interview about his grandfather and then just immediately turned saying that they got the dog in them. And it was awesome. They could not be a more they're the likable, scrappy team. Like we thought about that from Dan Campbell from training camp, but it's hard not to like this Lions team. Yeah, and they have cool players everywhere.
This team is likable. They have cool players everywhere. I agree with all of that. I was avoiding talking about Williams' post-game press conference because a little part of me is mad at him because Barry Sanders was my favorite player growing up. And I'm like, you're no Barry Sanders, which I know is petty and not fair, but like scoring as many or more touchdowns, right? He has 17 to Barry 16. Like, I don't want your name in the record books next to Barry Sanders, but that's not fair to me. It's all great. He's a fun guy who's really into anime, right? Is it because before the game, didn't he have like some really weird intro that I didn't understand because I'm old?
Super into Pokemon.
Oh, that was Pokemon?
Yeah. The one thing I will say, I guess that is anime, technically. But The one thing I will say is to your point about Barry Sanders, and this is not shade at Jamal Williams, but you can look it up. This is just a fact. There are graphs online where you can see the field and see the distance with which he scored his touchdowns from. And almost all of them are within 2 or 3 yards. So very different when they expand that graph, that chart out, and you see Barry Sanders taking him in from 25, 30, 40 yards in his record-breaking season on a much worse Lions team, I'll have you know.
Barry Sanders was incredible. I'm going to, as soon as we get off of this, I'm going to watch Barry Sanders highlight packet because...
Yo, they look fake compared to modern NFL players. They look like Noel Devine's high school highlights.
My first... I guess it was my first year. It was my second year playing football when my first year, they didn't know if I was good or not. So they gave me number 13. Then my second year, I got to pick my number and I picked number 20 and wore 20 all the way till I got to high school because Barry was my guy. And I did not play like Barry at all. I didn't have that level of quickness and I was pretty quick, but I love Barry Sanders. I don't know how this turned into a Barry appreciation podcast, but he deserves it. I used to hate Emmitt Smith only because people would talk about him like they were the same. I was like, no, the offensive line is so much better. Obviously, I don't hate Emmitt Smith now. I was a child and I was very upset.
Well, that's like the initial, like, that was before Twitter debates, but that would be the initial Twitter debate of like, well, Emmitt can get you 4 yards in a big game when it matters.
Shut up. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine Barry Sanders behind that Cowboys offensive line? Oh, my gosh. So many safeties would be having reconstructive knee and hip surgeries because Barry was freaking them. Yeah. I don't know how old the people are who listen to this podcast. Actually, it doesn't matter how old you are. Go watch some Barry Sanders highlights, whoever you are, all of you right now.
Also, beyond his Lions highlights, I want you to, if you're going to really do the full Barry deep dive, I want you to go look at his stats at Oklahoma State. At Oklahoma State, because, he was sharing a backfield with Thurman Thomas. We've heard legends about coaches being like, no, don't worry about Thurman Thomas. I don't care if he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Worry about the other guy. Yeah. But then this is his actual stat line, his junior season when he won the Heisman Trophy. But 11 games. College seasons are longer now. 344 carries, 2,628 yards, 19 touchdowns.
Good.
Get God out of here. sorry, I messed it up. It was 19 receptions, 37 touchdowns. I cut it in half. 37 touchdowns in the college season. That's like Cam Newton throwing the ball at Auburn.
Gosh, that's incredible. Take a moment for that to sink in. Oh, you jerks. I don't know why. I don't know why I'm just an angry person. I'm mad at people right now because of how good Barry Sanders was. Like that, you know how the basketball is like naming their trophies after former players. I want something named after Barry Sanders because he didn't have great playoff success and he is already underappreciated. He's going to be forgotten if we don't make people continue to talk about Barry Sanders. So I guess I should celebrate Jamal Williams because it's an opportunity for us to show Barry the love that he deserves.
Well, I'm ready to forget Doak Walker, who I don't know who he is. So we can just rename that the Barry Sanders Trophy at this point.
Yeah, the college one. I like that.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DF today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DF.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check.
Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or in a carry-on. And the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur. Barnstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right. The last thing that I wanted to hop into before we go to Roses and Thorns is talk a little Cowboys Bucks Monday night football playoff game, ESPN. We got a good game. I feel like ESPN always gets a crap game. We got the best one of the weekend, I think.
It's going to be awesome.
The most watched one. I don't know that either of these teams are any good right now, but they are both very intriguing. Like, trying to figure out, so watching the Cowboys Commanders game, it was so gross. They had the punter dropped a punt. They had a muffed punt. Their defense was like good-ish, but we're going up against Sam Howell and still gave up big plays. It just wasn't pretty. But the real story is how bad their offense looked. And if you look back to week one when they played the Bucks defense won that game. The Bucks defense is not nearly as good or healthy like as they were back then. So I'm not sure that they're going to be good enough to win them this game again.
Mm-hmm.
But the Cowboys offense is in that game, at least. And I guess there was nothing to play for. They probably assumed that the Eagles were going to win. But they did play, and they looked so bad. And Dak was so bad, throwing back-to-back, which should have been back-to-back pick sixes. But Kendall Fuller dropped the first one and then took the next one to the crib. It just was an overall ugly display by the Cowboys, and it's whatever the opposite of momentum is. Now they have that going into the playoffs.
Right. And so it's really weird because this Cowboys team won 6 of the last 8 games. And I think there was a point maybe 6 or 7 weeks ago when we thought they were really peaking at the right time. And then Dak had his interception spree, and we sort of mocked earlier in the season. I said that there's a limit on the amount of touches Tony Pollard should get. And we're all like, okay, whatever. Well, now he's over his last 2 games has 16 carries for 38 yards. And Dak is still throwing interceptions. The defense hasn't been as dominant as it was at his peak. Yet they're still 3-point favorites against the Bucks. And I just gut feeling after seeing the Bucks 2 weeks ago when Tom Brady finally had his first good game of the season, that ceiling would scare me a lot if I was a Cowboys fan.
Yeah. I mean, Cowboy fans are always nervous, as they should be, because these things don't work out well. And
it's not walking through that door.
Yeah. They're the most like popular team, so people take joy in mocking them. So they should definitely be nervous either way. But this game, they're better. They're not that much better. But the ceiling of that offense, I guess, is what should scare them. But they really should have no problem. I guess they're going to Tampa, so that makes it a little harder. But the Cowboys, if you look at, like, over the past 5 to 7 weeks, the Cowboys have been, like, much better than the Bucks. Yeah, and the Bucks don't really have anything to hang their hat on either side of the ball. They aren't really good at anything defensively or offensively. And
So it seems you don't think there's a way that the Bucks get back to in this game in like a one-off scenario, get back to the way they were early in the season, stopping the run and having like a dominant front. Is that their path against this Cowboys team?
Stopping the run, I don't think it's not the Cowboys. The Cowboys are not like a run-centric team, and Vita Vea is still not back. So, okay, maybe they can stop the run, but I don't think that's how you stop the Cowboys. Carlton Davis is probably not going to play in this game, right? And CeeDee Lamb has turned into, I think at the beginning of the season, I had questions about him being a true number one.
Yeah.
I take all those back. He's become pretty special, I think. I love to see him with the ball in his hands. And he's a guy that you have to account for. I don't really see a path to the Bucks winning this game, but I do see the Cowboys. There's like a path where the Cowboys blow it and choke it away. So I think the Cowboys are better enough in enough areas that the Bucks, even if the Bucks play well, I think the Cowboys should still win. But the Bucks need the Cowboys just to like implode like they did this past weekend. And we all know it's a possibility because they just did it this past weekend. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, talent-wise, the Cowboys are one of the three best teams in the NFC, for sure, along with the Eagles and 49ers. But I'm not going to be the one who's going to stand here on my soapbox and say they aren't going to choke. That you won't find me saying that the Cowboys won't choke.
Yeah, me either. Well, that game last week, maybe they knew that the Eagles were going to win and they were just out there trying to throw off their tendencies and give the Bucks some bad tape to study. I don't know, but it didn't work out. Anyway, you got anything else before we pivot to everybody's favorite Foxworth?
I'm excited for the playoffs.
Me too. Well, we'll do bets and stuff next week and dive into some more analysis on all the other games other than Cowboys Bucks. Appreciate you, Charlie.
He's so good!
How has Dominique been lately?
Bad or good?
Let's find out. This is Roses and Thorns.
All right, Roses and Thorns. My wife, Ashley, is here. And I think you have some roses and thorns for me, but I don't want to do that because, I mean, maybe we'll get to it eventually. I would rather bring in Sarah Abbott, one of the producers, because if you remember last week, we talked to Christina Buswell, one of the producers, and we all kind of tried to share things with each other. We tried to celebrate her engagement and also teach her the things we've learned about marriage, and she taught us some things that or at least gave us her perspective on relationships and stuff. So then we gave the marching orders to the rest of the producers to come back and teach us something. And I'm sure Sarah did not do her homework, so I'm putting her on the spot now anyway. So Sarah, welcome to the show, and also teach us.
Okay, so I am the only one on this podcast who is not in a relationship. So I am representing all of the single people who may listen to this podcast, and I am going to teach you some do's and don'ts for online dating, for Hinge, for Bumble. I'm not on Tinder, so I can't speak to that one, but those are the two that I'm
on. Why aren't you on Tinder? Like, what's Tinder like?
I'm scared of it.
Tinder's just like a hookup thing, right? Like, Tinder is people not looking. It's more casual, right?
Yeah, Tinder. So my best friend actually met her husband on Tinder. But I think she's the rare one. She's like
You said she met her husband on Tinder?
Yes.
How long's Tinder been around?
I have since I was in college.
Oh wow. I did not.
She was in college like a couple years ago though. It's like college. When you hear the word college, you think about like early 2000s because that's when you were in college. Yeah. So how long
there's some
ago?
Natalie Plains, some Mariah, like We Belong Together. Yeah.
Sarah, okay. How long ago was that?
Like 6 years.
See,
yeah,
that's not that long.
That's a bit.
And anyway,
okay, I think online dating is so exciting because it wasn't around. Like back when I was first starting to meet Dominique, like Facebook had just come out for like the, it just spread out of like the Ivy Leagues to like the normal Maryland college students. So I was able to sign up. And like, that's the closest thing I've had to like a profile as a single person. And obviously Facebook then is very different than it is now. And it's still not like a dating site. So tell me more. What do you do? What don't you do? Maybe I'll have some suggestions too.
Yeah, like most oftentimes they'll have prompts to kind of get, so you can get to know people's personality. So some examples would be, I'm overly competitive about blank. My greatest fear in life is blank. And so—
Do you get to pick your prompts?
Yes.
Okay.
And then you lie, right? Like you go from there to immediately start lying. That's what you should do.
Why would you do that though? Because then if you meet someone—
Why would you do that? It's of course like— Because it's a competition, whether you want to admit it or not, when you're on there, which is why you said that the idea of online dating sounds fun to you. It sounds fun to you because it's like a game. It seems fun and it's a high stakes game for some people. It is low stakes for you because you're already married. But I do think that everybody
y'all know
else,
what I'm trying to find. I'm joking. Hey,
I'm joking. Oh, no, joking. No, go ahead. I don't want to stand in your way. I've told you that plenty of times. Go get yours. I will figure it out. I'll hold it all together and I'll cry myself to sleep at night, but I'll be fine.
Like, that's so rude to say. I'm sorry. Anyway, back
how's
to
it rude. You the one that just said you was about to
I was obviously joking. You say I'm really serious. Like, you have this figured out.
I am really serious. If you left me, I'm not.
I know.
Jump off a building. I'm a sort it out, grown damn man. Anyway, the point is, it's competition. Everybody else is lying, so you gotta lie too. Am I right, Sarah?
Do you lie, Sarah?
I personally do not lie. If anything, see? I'm like brutally honest to the yes. point where it backfires.
Okay, but I like that approach. That's what I would do too, I think.
But yeah, so like one of my prompts is. Like a hot take, and mine is that Stanley Tucci is the most underrated actor of our generation, and that generates quite a bit of buzz.
So like the strategy behind that is like it's kind of random enough that it would get people's attention and they want to talk to you. Is that
exactly? You need a good attention getter. The biggest, like most annoying thing is when it's always guys that say, I'm overly competitive about everything. It's like, oh, everything, literally everything. That is like the biggest turnoff. Or my most controversial opinion is that pineapple doesn't belong on pizza. It's like, come on.
Yeah, you know? That's a common. Yeah, you got to be a little bit creative. And that's, I mean, I guess that's my point. It's not that you need to lie, but you are presenting yourself. So you need to, I don't imagine that Sarah's actually passionate about Stanley Tucci's rankings amongst American actors.
But you don't like, know that.
That's fair. I'm guessing, but I feel like that's a good move. I want to come up with a prompt.
Okay, but now since you've said that, I'm like stuck on like what would I? It would be so hard to come up with a dating profile. Like I'm overly competitive about what would I say? Taboo. That's the only game I really like. I love
but
Taboo.
That's a good one. That's a good one because people would like, oh, I love Taboo or I hate Taboo. Something that. Catches people's
okay.
attention.
Even though it doesn't tell that much about myself other than I like Taboo. Okay. What was that? And what would you say you're overly competitive about, Dominique? If you had to do that prompt.
I don't know. That's hard.
You better not leave me is what I'm hearing because you can't even come up with a dating profile. Even no, though it'll be okay.
I decided around the age of 14 that I was not going to make friends by being witty or cute. It's gonna be good at stuff. It's my strategy. Be good at stuff.
Then he's overly competitive about everything is what I'm hearing.
I mean, that's fair. I think that's probably the best thing to say.
But that's the one she was saying. That's a whack. You'd be like in that whack category.
Then Sarah wouldn't. So, I mean, it's a sorting mechanism either way. If Sarah reads that and she's like, then clearly we weren't meant to be. You read it, you'd be like, oh, I like this guy.
No, that's the thing. I would be like, ew, I hate competitive people.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I'm also just brutal on dating apps, just in general. Like if there is one thing.
What's
that
your
I
choice?
Don't like,
what are you looking for in a profile picture, right? So
okay, yes. This is a good one because I am very particular.
I think
about
for men, and I guess I don't know, Sarah, but I assume that you are looking for dudes. The picture is more, I don't give a damn about everything else.
Yeah, so the picture that I like is a nice solo shot of the person, but it can't be a selfie because I find it weird when guys take selfies. I don't know, like that just kind
of— Dominique does too.
Yeah, I think that's weird. And so a nice solo shot, a picture with a group of friends. So I know you're not a weirdo and you have friends. And a picture with—
That one would be hard for you, Dominique.
With, like, their mom or their family or something like that. And if they have a dog, always include the dog.
So shirt off pictures are a turn off for you. So, you know, if you see, oh man, that would be my first move.
Oh no, that's not for me. Also, I hate gym pictures when guys like take a gym picture mirror selfie in particular.
And that's your selfie. So it's like doubly annoying.
Yeah.
I had a Black Panic page. I didn't get Facebook until after you and I were like very seriously dating. And
I remember.
Yeah. And obviously I didn't have much, I didn't have any experience with dating sites, but in high school, Black Planet was like a precursor to Facebook and MySpace.
I would like to say I never had a Black Planet page or MySpace.
Yeah, I had a Black Planet page and I was like 15, 16 years old. And my like profile picture, I guess, was me with a backpack on and some shorts and no shirt, walking to, I forgot where I was going, but I was at an amusement park, at a water park. But I was like, yeah, hey, this is what I got. This is what I got to offer. I got some abs. That's about it. So,
but weren't you like really skinny when you were that age?
I was all right. I was not that skinny. I was small for a football player, but like all these other regular video game playing high school kids, killing them.
Okay.
Anyway, okay. Where are we in our
okay, so we talked about the prompts, the pictures.
Yeah.
What do you want for your picture? Like, do you kind of think about the same things for you? Are women, is it okay if women have selfies? Because we are selfies less weird for us to do.
Yeah, I feel like girls are okay with selfies because, like you were saying, it's like a little bit less weird. And I know that is a double standard, but
yeah, it's fine. It works.
Some double standards are real. Standards. That could be my controversial opinion. Some stuff's just different.
Yes. So yeah, but the hard part then is like actually meeting the person. That's when it gets scary because it's—
Hold on. You didn't explain the pictures that you're putting out there, because I think as a man perusing these sites, I think what's going to get me to stop is not that bullshit about Stanley Tucci. it's them pics.
Yeah. So my first one is the selfie, I think, or like a solo shot that I cropped to just be me. And then I have one of me at work, like on the sidelines of a football game.
So
like,
that's a good one.
Like,
I know, right? That was good. That was good. And then I have one from my sister's wedding. And then I have one with me and like my friends. So.
Aww. Oh, yeah. I want to see your page and like swipe. Is it swiping right that's the good swipe?
Yes.
I would swipe right.
Yeah.
I think the comments of this YouTube video might be filled with suitors.
So you said something that struck me, and I was like, oh, I forgot that it really does move from like you swiping left or right on profiles to meeting up in person, which you said is the hard part. So like, what are the steps between what percentage do you think do you get to in-person dates of the ones you like, or like where's your biggest like fall off, like, and like after the in-person date, or like we exchange one message and I realize there should be no in-person date, or just like in the picture swiping?
So I hate small talk on the app because I'm like, okay, like as soon as you swipe right and you message me two times, like let's move past this.
Okay. You know,
my phone number, like let's make a schedule, let's make a plan. That's how I am. So when it's too much small talk, I get annoyed because then I also think, what are we going to talk about on this date? We are two strangers. So
are you do you wait for them to like invite you on a date?
Yes.
Okay.
Always.
What city are you in? Are you in Connecticut?
Yeah, I'm in Connecticut.
Okay.
Sometimes I lie and say I'm somewhere else.
Okay. But then you can't meet up.
Well, I won't do anything too far. I just won't put like my actual town because I'm
paranoid
about that because I watch a lot of Criminal Minds. So I'm scared I'm going to like
order SVU. Yes, that's smart.
What's the point? I mean, I kind of feel like the point of the online thing is that you can broaden your horizons, because if like there's somebody who is special and perfect for you, like they may not be within 30 miles of Bristol. So like you gotta open it up and be happy to go. Like New York's not that far.
Why'd you just put her town out there?
I didn't put her town out there. You said, I mean, everyone knows.
I mean, I don't live in Bristol.
You said,
I'm just fine.
I don't live in Bristol, so we're all good.
Okay, we're good. We're good.
Edit it out.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Don't get kidnapped and then blame it on me. That'd be really sad.
I did have one really bad Bumble date, which Christina knows about. We've talked about it. It was bad. First of all, he showed up and did not look anything like his pictures and his profile, which
was it actually a different person or just really like filtered or flattering pictures?
I think it was like very old pictures. So maybe pictures of when he was like in college. It was, so that was tough right off the get go. And then it was a taco place where like you paid at the counter and I ordered one street taco and one margarita, and he ordered three tacos and margarita and then goes, we'll figure out how to split this at the end. That was tough.
Feminism.
Yeah. I mean, this is where you were saying some things are different. Like, I think surprisingly, I'm probably more progressive than you, Ashley, on some things, but I am not when it comes to like paying on dates and stuff like that. It's like, I don't know.
That was a tough one. He also made a mnemonic memory device for my name. That was the biggest.
So he doing numbers then, if he need help remembering.
Good for him. He can't be paying for everybody's taco and margarita. You're going to have to pay for actually one of his tacos to even things up.
But it wasn't a mnemonic memory device. Like,
what
was it? That was the worst part, is like it wasn't a real mnemonic memory device. And I didn't have the courage to tell him that. So he told me and he was like, oh, yeah, it's just hair. And I kind of looked at him. I'm like, just why? Out of curiosity, did you go with hair? And he goes, because it rhymes with Sarah.
Sarah.
Okay.
Is English his second language?
You
can say
because you have really nice hair and your name's Sarah. Like,
yeah, it was an interesting one. So yeah.
Have you ever gotten something. Okay? This is my last one for you. Have you ever gotten like in the messages a good line? Because I feel like that's what rises to my attention, is like somebody has like a funny line and it gets popular on like a social media thing. Has anybody hit you with a good line?
I've done the song lyric thing a couple of times where like you message,
you just go back and forth,
to see if they'll like pick up on it. That one's always really fun. That's a good way to do it. Just
that's a good sorting mechanism, and you know a lot about them if they can. What's the song? Do you remember what song it was?
So one guy did a Taylor Swift song, and that was a crowd pleaser. That's
points for you.
That was points for me. I love Taylor Swift. So that was a solid way. And then another person did some movie quotes. So he quoted Step Brothers to me, which was a good one. And that's always a good way to get in.
All right, Ashley, if I had to do the song lyric. So this thing, I don't know if you know about this, but like people just like write like a first line of a song, or not even first line, a line from a
Dominique.
Song. And what? I didn't know if you.
How slow do you think I am?
I don't think you're slow. It's just like, it's not, you have to go back and forth. It's like a conversation.
I get it.
I know, but you don't, it's like not clear. It's what makes it fun and interesting. It's like the first line is normally like, seems like, okay, never mind. You get it. The point is I was trying to get to is I thought of immediately the song I would use if I were trying to get your attention.
What?
And it would be Method Man and Mary J. Blige. That would be my go-to. I'm not sure if that would work or not. But that's where I would go, because I don't think I don't think you would appreciate if I went, as we talked about, I'm a little bit more progressive than you. If I was like, started hitting you with some Beyonce lyrics, I'm not sure that you would be interested in meeting up with that guy. But you also wouldn't be able to keep up if I was like some deep cut Nas. So I think I'd go with Shorty, I'm there for you anytime you need me. And we'd go back and forth and then we'd get married.
I like it. And I love it. That's great. I was going to say, and I hope that the end of one of your Taylor Swift back and forths ends like that. But I don't, because I hope it ends however you want it to end. Like, you know, maybe dating's fun. I don't know what you're looking for, but I'm happy that you seem to have a good handle on online dating. You
trying to sound progressive for the YouTube audience. I don't know.
I don't think marriage is the be all and end all.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that you think marriage
is the be all. I've never been someone to think that.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you do think that marriage is the be all and end all, but I also know you. So
what does that mean?
That means that the idea that you're saying, like, or what, I guess maybe I'm reading too much into it. I'm wrong. Never mind. I'll tell you about it when we're not being recorded.
I actually have no idea what he's talking about. Like, so, like, he'll probably think, like, I have an idea what he's talking about sometimes. But when I say, like, I don't know what you're talking about, which happens, like, once I would say a segment, I legitimately have no idea. I'm just like,
okay, well, this, the what's in the back of my mind right now was talking about something else, but also I know that your father now listens to the podcast and I don't want to embarrass
My dad got this new techie car. So my dad, who is gonna be 69 this week, actually we're gonna have brunch with him this weekend. He bought a brand new Suburban. Like, he growing up, I'm one of four, my parents always kept a Suburban. He brought a brand new Suburban with like fancy TVs in it that have like YouTube and like all the like apps. Like, so, I mean, which he doesn't have. So he had to sign on my account for all the apps, but he bought it, even though he doesn't have small children, he bought it one just to burn gas and kill the environment, I guess. But he said it's diesel, which is a little better, which whatever, but two, because he says he needs to be able to drive all five of his grandchildren around. And like, he's there, like he also still works. I just really don't understand. But it has something where he can say, and he's like, guess what I did? I said, hey, Google, play the Dolly Foxworth podcast. And I never knew how to find a podcast before. But Google found the podcast. So my parents said they were driving to Kohl's yesterday. My mom loves Kohl's. They were driving to Kohl's. And she said, and we listened to that whole episode Dominique did about, you know, what was that? It was a description that eventually she was talking about the last one we did with Charlie. But after DeMar Hamlin's injury. But now they listen. Yes.
Yeah, that's,
he's got to say, hey, Google.
Yeah, I don't care. Like, I just don't want to make you uncomfortable, because I would talk about all the uncomfortable stuff. But I do have like weird, I had a weird, not weird interaction, but you would be,
I don't think you would make it this far. Like, this is buried at the end. So you can say what you want.
Okay, good. No, I was just saying in general, I guess we've probably gone on for longer than the normal time, so we can wrap it up. But you were not at, you didn't get to Avery's basketball game until after it started. And I was awkward with one of the parents because she wanted to talk to me about my tweets. And I was like, I've known her for like,
Lovely. Let me tell you a story about this parent.
She is my lovely. Son, I love
when I realized
her,
I was obsessed with her is when my daughter was in first grade and my daughter was in kindergarten. And my son was, I guess, four. And I'm at a pool party at her house. Dominique's the way. An end of the year pool party with my kindergarten daughter, my 4-year-old son, who's like the only little boy there, who's like jumping in the pool in his shorts because I couldn't, your parents were supposed to stay. And I've got my like 7-month-old breastfeeding child. And I'm like sitting there a mess with these three kids. Declan jumps out of the pool and it's like, I have to poop. He starts shitting on her patio, and the door from the pool goes in her kitchen, and poop is dripping from his little wet legs like through the kitchen floor. And she was so effing cool about it, and ever since then I've been like, I love her, so you better not act awkward with her. She is the best woman. Oh my god, she let Declan poop on her kitchen floor.
But she wanted to talk about my tweets, and I was just like, I like to compartmentalize.
I'm gonna write that down. Life. Read your tweets so we can talk about them.
And I was like, this is a basketball compartment where we talk about our girls at basketball. And it was kind of awkward, but she's cool. She's nice. I didn't apologize, but I was like, oh, I don't know. It was nice. She's awesome. So anyway, I just told you that because I thought it would make you upset. So you're welcome.
So that's a thorn for you. There, you don't have to come up with it. Your rose is the opposite. You really are doing well with one of the things we talked about you needing to do, or my hope for you being social. You went out with your friends this weekend and you actually enjoyed it. So your hopes for the new year, you're really my hopes for you for the new year, which may not have been the same as your hopes for the new year, but I think I know what's best for you. You're actually acting on them, and I'm proud of you. I have to say, I have not started my growth/expansion yet. So you're winning in that department. So congratulations.
I'm competitive, as we've already established.
In everything.
Yes, you're welcome for
me
that.
Me just in taboo.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Sarah, for being the star of this podcast.
Yes.
And
if Dominique is ever perfectly fine because I leave him and he's going to be fine afterwards and I have to set up a dating profile, I'm coming to you.
I don't think I would set up a dating profile. Like, I just don't, I don't know.
I sent me.
I would. No, I would just mourn the end of a beautiful relationship for the rest of my life. And
you already said that you'd be perfectly fine.
That was me trying to, I'm competitive in everything. I just was trying to save face. That's all. Anyway, Sarah, I'm sure you could see right through my lies. I appreciate you both. And I appreciate you, Christina. Great work. Addy, you're the man. Charlie, thank you very much. Bye, everyone.
Love you.
Love you too.
I know.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.